Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Any African in this place?
Hallelujah. He is worthy of a shout out. He is worthy of a shout out. He is worthy of a shout out. Happy and glad to be part of a body that is holy and being led by a Holy Spirit that is leading us to heaven. That's why I shout. And please, Don't be offended. I know where I came from. I know where I am. And I know where I'm going. So I'm shouting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We've been blessed. We are blessed and we will remain blessed. Amen. He is the Lord. And to Him, all the glory. Amen. Friday night, we were reminded or taught about who we are, where we are, and why we should be really excited about God. We are not in a contract with God. No. We are in a covenant with God. And we have the new covenant. The old one was with bulls and sheep and goat blood. This new one is in the blood of Jesus. No blood that can equal this blood. Amen. And Brother Kahozi is here with an anointing today again. Oh, when you want people that God can use, it's Brother Kahozi and all the team that came. It takes a whole day to drive to Wisconsin. It takes a whole day to drive to Wisconsin. They have all the jobs and all the family going on. They choose to come anyway. So, we who are here, what we should do? I leave it to you. But I want just to ask you, Calvary Gospel Church, to give a warm welcome to a man that you already know. Pastor Kahozi from Montreal.
Hallelujah. Let's shout unto God with a voice of triumph, because He alone is worthy of all the praise. He alone is worthy of all the honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Again, it's a great privilege to be here. And to bring the whole team from Montreal. And I don't know what to say. I'm kind of a little bit lost. But you could feel the presence of God in this place. You know, and I sincerely believe if we would have just continued singing that second song about the name, the Lord would have met with us here in this place, and people will be filled with the Holy Ghost, and people will be healed, and wow, but His presence is here, and if we just tarry a little bit in His presence, He's going to do a mighty work with us today. Hallelujah. Bring greetings from my pastor, Paul Graham. I know Pastor Roy was away. I miss him a lot. Hallelujah. I wish he was here. I'll feel protected. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but you cannot be saved without a pastor. So wherever I go, I need the covering of a pastor. And but he left two pastors, so I'm safe. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be too long. I feel to speak to the church. Today I feel the Lord lead me to speak to the church. We're going to go in the book of Acts, chapter 16. We're going to read 3 verses. And then we'll go to the book of John. We'll read 1 verse. I'll just speak a little while to the church, and then we'll let the Lord fill us with the Holy Ghost. And if anybody is here who's not filled with the Holy Ghost yet, they're going to be filled today in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you didn't put on the name of Jesus yet, I mean, it's time to enter the covenant. Hallelujah. It's time to enter the covenant. Acts 16, verse 36, 37, 38. I am originally French, so sometimes my pronunciation is not, but I'm sure you're going to get the message. Hallelujah. Thank God for my wife being with me today. She's awesome and precious. Acts 16, verse 36. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly and condemned, being Roman, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch for us. Let them come themselves and fetch for us." And the surgeon told us these words unto the magistrate, and they feared when they heard that they were Roman. We're going to read John chapter 14, verse 12. John 14, verse 12. Jesus speaking said, "Verily, verily, I said unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." I'm going to speak a little bit to the church today, and the title of my message will be, don't just run too fast. Don't just run too fast. Just tarry there a little bit. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with that title, but I'll request Pastor to pray. Hallelujah. Before we see it, can we just let ourselves loose a little bit in worship? Just lift the voice and shout unto God. Lord, we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Before you get seated, just one small thing. My mentor taught me that. Say, did you notice? I said, let us shout, but we did clap our hands. Because we have a tendency to clap our hands instead of shouting. And my mentor told me that the reason why we clap our hands, it's because it's dignifying. But shouting make you look crazy. And from God, because he knew how to get crazy before God. If we could learn just to let ourselves loose. Can we shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph? Jesus! We worship you, Lord. You alone are worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You may be seated in Jesus' name. You know, in the book of John, the Bible said, the Lord said, verily, verily, I said unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. If we are believers, we're going to be able to do all the works that the Lord did. And quite frankly, if we look at what he did, it's a great challenge. He opened blind eyes, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he set the captive free, the people who were demon-possessed were set free, and looking at everything the Lord did, it's quite a challenge just to be able to accomplish what he did. I've been serving the Lord for a little while. I saw him heal sick people. I saw him once heal somebody who had AIDS. I saw him do some wonderful things. People who didn't have children, they were able to bear children and to bring forth children. But I didn't see blind eyes open yet. I didn't see the dead raised yet. So I hope to see that before he comes back. Amen. Hallelujah. But he pushed it a little bit farther. He said, and greater works than these shall he do. What a challenge. Is there any believers here? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's quite a challenge when you look at this statement. We're going to be able not only to do what he did, but he expected us to do more than what he did. When meditating on that, the Lord actually sent me into Acts 16, the story we kind of read at the beginning. Paul and Silas was thrown into prison, not because they did wrong, but because they delivered one young lady who was possessed by an evil spirit and was doing divination. And because of what they did, they were falsely accused. And the accusation was that they was teaching false doctrine. They were teaching doctrine that was not lawful for those people to follow. You're going to realize that when you start preaching the word of God, you're going to teach things that people in the world are not allowed to follow. You know, the word of God will set us into a different path, a different direction than what the word is dictating. If we're going to teach the word of God, we're going to walk in a opposite direction than the rest of the world. And let me tell you, don't be afraid to work in that opposite direction. Don't hesitate. Just walk in that direction. But then Paul and Silas was beaten up, thrown into prison, and we hear a lot of preaching about the power of worship regarding this section of the Bible. It was at midnight. Paul and Silas was in they were in prison. They were beaten up. The back was a sword and wounded. They were in chain. But instead of complaining, like I'll probably do if I was them. We will do otherwise. I don't know who is with me here today. I will probably complain. I'll be honest with you. I will probably start questioning God. What's happening, Lord? I was just doing your work. I was preaching the word. And you manifest your power in a mighty way. A lady was delivered. What went wrong? What am I doing sitting in a prison? Why was I beaten up? I will definitely question God. I'll be very honest with you. But Paul and Silas, they didn't do that. At midnight, they start singing praises unto God. There was actually no reason for them to sing that praises. If we look at it on our perspective, But let me tell you this. There is always a reason. There is always a reason to worship God. Hallelujah. And the first reason to worship God, because He is. And if we realize that He is, we will always worship Him no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation, no matter what the darkness. It was the midst of the night at the darkest hour of the day. Jesus was still Jesus. He was still on the throne and He was still worthy of all the praise and of all the worship. Can we clap our hands unto Him right now? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And at midnight, in verse 25, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoner heard them. It was not a quiet worship. It was not a quiet talk. It was a kind of hallelujah shout that everybody else in that prison will hear them. And suddenly, and all of a sudden, there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were loosened. I mean, they were worshiping, singing, and the Lord was attracted to that. He showed Himself up in that prison. But can you realize it? Our Lord is bigger. And the prison cannot hold Him. So when He shows up, the walls start shaking because He's too big to fit in that prison. Hallelujah. And all the chain that was holding them got loose because the Lord showed up. You know, the prison door opened. Now, I never been into prison. I've never been arrested. But if I was Paul or Silas, or even if I was one of the prisoners there, I mean, let's be honest a little bit. The chains are off and the doors are open. There is only one option. Run. I mean, God opened the door. We Pentecostal, we always look for a sign from God. He opened the door. It's a clear clue for me to walk out of that door. That's how I will read it. If He didn't want me out of here, He'll keep the door closed. Amen. That's how I will read it. But not Paul and Silas. The door was open, but they just sit there. They just stay there. The chain were loose. They didn't run. You know, the power of worship set them free, but they stayed there. And they worshiped God, and God did His work. He set them free. But they were there for works that were greater than what He did. Any of us will run away. But let me suggest to you this. If they would have just think of themselves and run away, we wouldn't read the rest of the story as it is written today. Sometime, hallelujah, when the door is open, it's not just time to run. Sometime when God bless, it's not just time to move to the next step. Maybe you just have to tarry right there because you have a greater work to do than what the Lord did. Listen, every prison is not to hold us captive. Every chain is not to restrict us. God is just trying to reach somebody near you. God is just trying to save some soul just next to you. Just don't run too fast. What would have happened if Paul and Silas ran away? You know, anointing, there is something special about anointing. Anointing, it's never for us. You know, we never get anointed for us. We always get anointed for the others. God will anoint me to use it on other people. I need to be anointed so I could help you. But you need also to be anointed so you could help me. My own anointing will not help me. It's there to help somebody else. I need your anointing and you need my anointing. I need to be anointed, but you also need to be anointed. But because my anointing will not help me, I need your anointing to help. So just stay there. The door of a prison is open, but just tarry there. God is already working deliverance, but just wait. There is a greater work to be done than what the Lord has already done, and you're going to be the one to do it. You're going to be the one to do it. God loves you. God loves you. Don't you ever doubt that. God loves you. If you're going through a struggle, don't doubt the love of God. What you're going through is not because He doesn't love you. It's because He ran a reach out and touch somebody else. Hallelujah. I was not born in the church. I was a good Catholic. And when I say a good Catholic, it's really mean a good Catholic. I was going to church maybe twice a year. And I was a really good Catholic. I came to the Pentecostal church, and you guys taught me all that. I was not born in this. You taught me that God loved me. I believe it, and I saw it. You told me that salvation, I cannot do anything to be saved. I believe it. You told me that Jesus paid for my salvation. I believe it. And you told me that once when I was not saved, it's His body that paid for my salvation. I read it. I saw it. I saw how His body suffered. And I believe it. But you also taught me that once I am saved, I become a member of His body. I believe it. And my understanding is to produce salvation, His body got to suffer. But we are the body. We are the body. Don't run just too fast. Just tarry there. The Lord want to use His body. Don't just try to enjoy the freedom too quickly. The Lord want to use His body. Don't run out of your situation too fast. The Lord designed it on purpose so that you, who is His body, can suffer and produce salvation for the other who are coming behind you. The door will open. Paul and Silas didn't run. They stayed there. They didn't get out. You know, and the keeper, verse 27, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, you know, the word is asleep. The word is sleeping. They need to be wake up. And seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoner had been fled. You know, if they were just regular prisoner, they would have been miles away. If I was in that prison, I'll be gone before that man wake up. But they stayed. And because they stayed, verse 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" What would have happened if they didn't stay? This man would have been dead. What would have happened if they didn't wait? his family would have never known salvation. What would have happened if they just enjoy the anointing of God, the power of God for themselves? This family would have never been saved. Let me reiterate that again. The Lord loves you. The Lord loves you. You don't measure the love of God by what you're going through. The Lord loves you. There is only two reasons why you're still here on earth. The first reason is if you're not saved, you need to be saved. You need to obey the gospel. If you're not repented yet, you need to repent. If you're not baptized in Jesus' name, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. If you don't have the Holy Ghost yet, you need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in another tongue. That's the first reason why we are here on earth. The second reason, if you are here on earth, if you're already baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost and living for God, the second reason why you're still here on earth, it's so that somebody else who is not baptized yet can be baptized. It's somebody else who not filled with the Holy Ghost yet can be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's for somebody else who is not yet experienced Jesus can experience also Jesus. Because God loves you so much. God loves you so much. If it was not for somebody else to be saved, He will take you to heaven right away the day you were saved. He will take you to heaven because He has better for you. He has street of gold. He have a place where there is no crying. There is no pain. There is no sorrow. There is no loneliness. He has that set and prepared for you. But the only reason He's keeping you here, it's because He loves somebody else as much as He loves you. And if we realize that, The prison is not a prison anymore. The prison is just a tool to save somebody. My struggle is not a struggle anymore. It's just an opportunity to reach out to somebody else. My suffering is not a suffering anymore. It's just an opportunity to produce salvation for somebody else. I am suffering because I am the body of Christ. You know, if we continue that story, it's a beautiful ending story. This man took them to his house. He treated them and all his family, all his household was baptized the same very hour. I don't know if you realize that. They didn't even wait for the next day. In the middle of the night, they got baptized. Because there are certain things you don't wait. If you are here today, you're not repented yet, don't wait. Don't wait. If they could do it in the middle of the night, we can do it here this morning. We're going to take the time to repent here very soon. If you're not baptized in Jesus' name yet, don't wait. I know the way to the baptistry here. I've been there. I can show you the way to the baptistry. You go there and you are baptized in Jesus' name. You put on the most beautiful name ever. You get into the covenant. You have to get into the covenant. And the only way you get into the covenant is putting on the name. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost yet, I'm telling you, He's here. We can feel Him. We can sense Him. He's ready to fill each one of us. Nobody has to leave here empty. Nobody have to leave here empty. I'm going to receive the Holy Ghost again today. And at 1 o'clock, I'll receive it again. And at 6 o'clock, I'm going to come back and receive it again. Because that's just how much I want that Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And the very same hour, they were baptized in His name. In this hour also, you can be baptized in Jesus' name. Let me tell the church today, we're not just going to run too fast. We're not going to, beg to get out of our struggle too fast. We're going to change the way we pray. We're going to pray, Lord, I don't know what you're doing here, but just do what you need to do. I'm not going to rush out of that prison until you save that family. I'm not going to rush out of that situation till you save that friend. Don't just get me out of this yet before saving somebody. I don't want to waste any suffering. I don't want to waste any suffering. If I'm going to suffer, let it be for a purpose. Let it be for a purpose. Let it produce soul. I'm going to tarry till my investment pay off. Can we all stand in Jesus' name? Hallelujah. You know, I believe there is too many empty spaces. There is so many souls out here in Madison that needed to be here in this place this morning and hear the message of hope. We have the message of hope. We do have it. The others, they don't have it. We have it. But if we will accept to not to run out of our prison when the door is open, the Lord will fill this pew with souls, with family that are in need of His touch and of His presence. Can we close our eyes for a moment? And pray, Lord, we thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your goodness toward us, for the privilege we have, oh God, to know you, to be in your presence and to feel you here. Father, we don't want to take it for granted. We don't want to forget the price you pay for us to have access to this, oh God. Thank you for your bloodshed. Thank you for the suffering you endure. Thank you for the price you pay, Father. As we come, Lord, realize that we are natural being subject to failure, oh God. Lord, we come to pray that you forgive us where we have come short. We pray that you help us to realize, oh God, that even when you open the door of the prison, we should tarry so that we may be able to do that greater work. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The greater work is not to see more blind eyes open. The great work is not to see the sick get healed. Because all those miracles, they have a time limitation. You know, the sick who's healed, there'll come a day if the Lord Terry is gonna die. Even the dead who raised from the dead, they come again a day he's gonna die and go meet his creator. But only one thing will go behind the grave, and it is a soul that is filled with the Spirit. And that the greater work that we can do, that the greater work He called us to do. And if we tarry, He will use us to see many filled with His Spirit and see the destiny completely change. Not only affect the 40, 60 years on this earth, but to carry on and on and on and on in eternity with Him. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to open this altar, but I would like to ask first, if you're here and you don't have the Holy Ghost yet, if you could come up first. I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to expose you. But I don't know nobody, so that's the only way for me to ask for it. We're not going to do any harm to you. We're just going to pray with you. And the Lord will fill you with that spirit of peace. Hallelujah. That spirit of life. I'll open this to all the congregation now. If we would just come and speak to the Lord for a moment and cry out to Him and plead with Him to help us realize that we need to tarry in that prison. That prison is not to hold us back, is not to restrain us, is to release His Spirit to work, to do that greater work. Let's get together. Hallelujah. Happier. The Lord gonna fill us with His Spirit again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hariba kutama na utaraba holo bo yosanda. Rama ya etaraba holo bo yosanda. We open ourselves unto Him. Hallelujah. We open ourselves unto Him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Boraba kutama na utaraba holo bo